Okay, let's play CanCon Tribond. Thrush Hermit, New Zealand, The Emergency. The common denominator is Joel Plaskett. Okay, multi-Juno and ECMA award winner, and among the what I would probably qualify bucket list moments under his belt is being selected by Sir Paul McCartney himself as his opening act. In 36 years on the planet, Joel Plaskett has been up to a lot. Joel, good morning. It's morning now. This will be airing in the evening, but good morning.
Good morning.
Now, there appears to be something like really interesting at work in our generation, I think. And it's reflected in lots of aspects of life, creative and otherwise. And it's kind of like this rootsy meets techie sort of vision of getting things done. It's like that the big shiny looming industry of everything still exists. But like there's this approach to creating yourself that seems like a, I don't know, it seems like a permission slip that we've kind of forged ourselves. That seems to me, that seems to be part of your approach to music and creating and performing. Talk to me about what you do and why you do it.
Well, I mean, I think I, for me, it's kind of come in a fairly, you know, I hate using the word organic because it's sort of, that's what it means anymore. But I having started touring and playing and performing when I was a teenager with Thrush Hermit, when we were 18, we were graduating high school and we had opportunities presented to us. We had a publishing deal with New York, you know, with BMG in New York. We went on tour with Sloan and took us out on the road because they had started their Murder Records label and were inviting their friends along for the ride, and we benefited from that. And then, you know, it kind of went from there, and, you know, we went through a major label deal with Elektra, so I kind of got a glimpse into that world a bit, you know, and certainly we had expectations, some of which weren't fulfilled by things like those deals. But I never really, it never stopped my desire to want to continue to play music, and so in 99 when that band broke up and I started doing stuff solo and then with The Emergency, it's always been a really natural progression just to go, well, what do I got to do to get to Ontario to play this show? Oh, I need a vehicle to do this. I need to do this. Oh, okay, they need a video for a clip. Well, you got to come up with a video, you know? All those steps, you kind of just, it becomes this part and parcel of what you do in the same way if you were figuring out how to make a pair of shoes. You'd go, all right, how do they make soles? You know? And I think it is like, I think it is kind of been liberating the past little while with technological movement, you know, in terms of the internet being allowing access, like essentially have an online fan club, you know, it's replaced the mail outs. I remember back in the Hermit days, we used to get fan letters and we would write back.
Yeah.
And that's cool. It takes a lot of, it's not quite as easy breezy as just doing an email and, you know, answering a question or going onto Facebook and posting something to everybody, you know? So, you know, but all of it is sort of, I'm not sure where I fall in that. I just feel like I've, you know, I'm trying to use the things that are out there to my advantage, but at the same time, the things I really care about are performing and making records, as far as music goes. And so those are the things that are still really dear to me. And then, you know, all the kind of YouTubing, social networking, all that stuff that you can do to help, draw attention to yourself. I'm slowly figuring out ways of making that interesting for me.
Yeah.
It's taken a while, you know. I'm becoming a little bit more active in terms of posting things on the website and taking pictures and shooting videos when it interests me and stuff. That was something, you know, the thing is bands in the 60s who had a lot of, 70s who had a lot of success and money floating around them, artists would just gravitate towards it and do that for them. You know, Bob Dylan would have Sam Shepard on the Rolling Thunder tour writing about it, as well as like probably a crew of photographers all floating around taking pictures. And so all of a sudden there's this amazing document of all that. Now what we have the equivalent of is YouTube fan videos.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
I guess
very different.
I guess that part of it involves too that it can be sort of daunting sometimes when you think, okay, I have to do these posts, or I have to do, you know, whatever, that it could feel sometimes like it requires a lot of information, or that a post has to be a big thing. But I guess, you know, really to stay kind of, to be able to keep up with it, it really doesn't. It can just be that kind of one sentence connection, or that check out this picture of this thing, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be the most strange or random photos of stuff, but people are still like, hey, look at that thing that, you know, look, they were there.
Well, you know, the thing to me is more like, you know, part of the thing that often works its way into my show if I'm performing that day is just stuff that I've done or found interesting. And now I'm realizing, well, maybe I can find a way to, you know, grab a little element of that and throw it on the website now and then, you know, like, oh, hey, you know, reading this book, it's good. You know, I mean, it can start to feel kind of trivial if you overthink it. And It's easy to go, why am I bothering? Like, why do I feel compelled to send all this, like, information? You know, I certainly don't want to send every thought I have during the day out into the world, because it's, you know, there's that danger that it just becomes like you're just adding to the fray. But, you know, having said that, when it's, if it's something I care about and my fans care about what I'm doing, then I like to think that there'll be a connection made there for some people, you know? And I believe in a sense of community as far as playing music goes, you know? I started a little record label called New Scotland Records, kind of just to kind of continue what, in my mind, you know, like the Sloan guys did for me with Murder,
sure,
records back in the day, you know? Just that idea that, you know, you connect the dots between interesting people and artists, and if you build it, you know, then all of a sudden the fan base, you know, is involved. The fans and the people who care are interested in that world being created, you know?
I think that Sloan's a good example, actually, of what we were talking about in terms of, like, it's kind of like you keep going, even if the kind of recognition that you're getting from the world and the industry isn't necessarily what the supposed conventional like fandom is, you know, because that seems to be able to crash as quickly and dramatically as it can exist dynamically, you know. So they're just about to put out their 10th album, I think, you know. So there you go. It's really interesting that you're it's like you're carrying on sort of that thing that they started, because they kept going, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Sloan are a real testament to longevity in the face of, like, everybody else, you know, myself included, kind of going solo or changing or whatever, breaking up. You know, they're a real democracy, and it's one that, you know, functions in its own way. It's not to say that, you know, it functions perfectly, having known those guys for a long time and knowing that, you know, there's probably days when they're like, man, I wish I could go out and do my own thing, you know. But I have nothing but, you know, respect for those guys in terms of the way they've handled themselves on a kind of, both an artistic and a business level. You know, they helped foster that sense of community in Halifax. And to be fair, it existed there before them. They mm-hmm. were, I think the thing about Sloan is because they were swept up in something, and because of their talent, you know, but when things started to really happen for them, I think they were like, I think it was a way, staying connected to community was a way of them avoiding getting, feeling like sequestered, and also feeling like they were getting too big for their britches, you know?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, and I totally can relate to that. As things start cooking for me on the East Coast, I've enjoyed trying to keep a connection there with the studio and just doing stuff when I have time with other people, because it really reminds me of what it is I like about Halifax, you know?
Yeah.
And why I continue to stay on the East Coast. So.
There's something about deciding where you want to be, you know, like 8 years ago, I moved back to my hometown, and there's still sometimes I'm like, man, I live in Richmond, you know, but the part of the reason I can do it is because of technology, like, you know, because I can tap into stuff so easily with the net that I probably wouldn't have, because I'm a real media hound, I wouldn't have been able to do that, you know, like 15 years ago the same way as I can now. So it's, I guess it's part of that. I think that's as part of the thing is deciding, you know what, I'm going to stay where I want to be, but I'm not going to, I'm still going to do the stuff I want to do.
Yeah. Well, there was a time, like I've never lived anywhere other than Halifax or Dartmouth now is where I live, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, sort of before the internet took hold, it was like the decision to stay in Halifax was a little bit, you know, harder in terms of people going like, you should move somewhere else. It would be better for your career or whatever. You know, there was always that. But I feel like the playing field's a little leveler, a little more level now, you mm-hmm. know, than it was because of, you know, the internet. There's no, you could communicate with people easily and cheaply. You can, you know, nobody really knows where you're from half the time anyway when you're you know getting things happening and I don't know. I mean it makes touring more expensive because, you know, just to step out the door and hit the road, if you're gonna head to Ontario, it's not like you're just, oh, let's go down to London, Ontario and play a show this weekend. Like, let's go to London, Ontario and start our tour, you know. And when you go out, when you leave the Maritimes, you know, it's an endeavor. You're going for a week, you're not just, you know. But
we have a massive, gigantic country, man. That's it. Going on the road just means the road's longer.
You know? Yeah, very big. Yeah.
So you're going to be here at Centennial Theatre at Bishop's University on March 16th, next Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Playing a show in a great spot with a very excited audience. Like, we've been talking about your coming to Lenoxville for a long time. It's awesome. So, you know, there was initially a September date planned, I believe, and it was funny because there was a wedding happening that day of a whole bunch of, the couple in particular were huge fans, and then a whole bunch of us going to the wedding were huge fans, so we were really relieved when it was rescheduled to March, so I can't wait for next Wednesday.
Awesome.
All right, you know, we're going to play some,
amazing,
we're going to play some music, some Joel Plaskett, of course, and then we'll be back with the final four. Stick around. This is DH Radio.
I feel foolish. I want to drink too much. You look Polish. Got a wicked sense of humor. I feel dizzy and I want your touch. Let's get tipsy and start a rumor. I feel restless here. I can't sit still. Everybody at this party's got their fingers in the till. I bet their parents are ridiculously loaded. Let's get moving before I'm loaded. The dancers need a dance floor. The swingers gotta swing. Fashionable people doing questionable things. You like my band. I like your boyfriend too. Do you think he'd understand? I can't remember how we ended up out here. But all good things have got to start somewhere. The dancers need a dance floor. The swingers gotta swing. Fashionable people doing questionable things. Shut up. no good for you. Ditch him. Do the switcheroo. Switch him. Switch him up with me. Leave him in the ditch, and you can hitch a ride for free. The dancers need a dance floor. The swingers gotta swing. Fashionable people doing questionable things. Looking just like magazines. Fashionable, fashionable, fashionable people. That's what I'm talking about.
Final Four with Joel Plaskett. Joel Plaskett. I like. Yeah. I think I'm gonna have to call you by your whole
the
name.
Final That's Four. Gonna, yeah, it sounds like it's very, very, very basketball. You know.
It is.
Yeah.
All right. Here's your first layup.
All right. I'm tall. You know. I'm game.
What is your greatest strength?
You know, I don't know, but I you know, I think one of my I'm able to focus for a long period of time. You know, that might be one of my greater strengths. I'm sure there's maybe others, but I like to that allows me to get stuff done.
Is that ever a rarity in our time? I'm losing that ability. I want to do like 50 things at once.
Yeah, well, I do too. I would, but you know, when I sit down into a mode where I'm working on something, I guess that's when I can really. There's definitely, I should maybe take that back because I don't know. I think it holds true. I'm able to like see things through. I guess okay. Sometimes they take a little while, but I like to do things. You know,
so sometimes it's like
at the expense of my body and my mind, you know, like when I get carried away, you know.
I hear you.
Everything else falls by the wayside.
Okay, what would you say is your greatest weakness?
Maybe not being able to shut that motivation or that compulsion to always be in motion. You know, off. That's the challenge. I think that's where I can falter. Is I don't sometimes slow down to listen to people or to be present at all the times when I should be.
Okay.
You know, because my focus is elsewhere. So I think that can be a challenge sometimes. I don't know if it's my greatest weakness, but it's certainly one that I can recognize sometimes, especially when I'm in that mode where I can see, you know, the people around me going, "You're too much for me right now, man."
Well, it winds up being the thing. I guess it's whether it's the greatest weakness or not. It's one that weighs heavily when it's active.
Yeah, when you're active and stuff. I don't know. I mean, it's tough to recognize those things. I think you know the thing about things like this is it's highly subjective. I know I have greater weaknesses than that. Probably my greatest weakness is like you know, is not being able to you know. It's getting tired of lifting the gear. You know?
All right, what would you say is your favorite candy?
My favorite candy? You know, I'm a potato chips person. I don't know if you'd call that candy.
Of course.
But if I... all right, well then potato chips. I'm more of a salt guy than a chocolate guy. Potato chips, most definitely.
All right, and what would you like to be remembered for?
Well, I don't know. I think... That there's a handful of songs that I'm quite proud of, but really, I think more. I'd rather be remembered as like you know, part of something. Like I feel lucky to have an association with a place, the Maritimes. I don't know. I don't know that. I can't, that one might be too early for me to answer.
Well, that's a good answer. Here's to figuring it out.
That's right, exactly.
All right.
Call me at the end of the day.
All right.
After the show in Meaford tonight, I'll let you know what I want to be remembered for rocking Meaford.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you will be tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
And March 16th, you will be remembered for doing so in Lennoxville at Centennial
exactly.
Theater.
Exactly.
So everybody contact the box office there at 822-9692 if you want to get tickets. Do it.
Okay.
All right, Joel Plaskett. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sheila. Appreciate it.